pass them about. What I wanted to do today, and Deborah and I were talking about this, I'll just start it over here, Gary. You don't necessarily have to talk. If you want to, that's awesome, though. I would like for you to talk. Is a lot of times, most of the time, our weekly routine that we get into as a church, especially here on Sunday morning, doesn't allow a lot of room for hearing about what God is doing or what God has done in one another's lives. And so as we begin 2014 together, I wanted to just take a Sunday here at the beginning of the year, do something that is just very much against my nature and not preach a sermon, but listen to you and let us listen to one another testify about what God has done and what God is continuing to do in our lives. In our church, could be in your own individual life, could be something that you sense and see God doing in our church body. I did want to read a passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to preach, I promise, but I want the Word of God to prevail over our time together today. And so a passage that I wanted to read is from Philippians 4. I love the letter of Philippians. I look forward one day to being able to just take Philippians and savor it together as a church for an extended period of time and just preach through it. But this passage of Scripture is particularly pertinent, I think, to today and the beginning of a new year, the end of an old year, beginning of a new year. Paul says to the church at Philippi in verse 4 of chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." I just love how Paul, in this passage, he kind of begins the passage speaking about the peace of God. He says in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And he closes the passage by saying that the God of peace, peace of God, something God gives, and the God of peace, God Himself, will be with you. I want the peace of God that passes all understanding to just guard our hearts and minds in 2014. You're going to face many of the same temptations that you faced last year. This year, you're going to face some new ones. You're going to face some of the same struggles and hardships. You're going to face maybe some of those again this year and perhaps some new ones. But I want you to face it. I want all of us to face it with the peace of God guarding our minds in Christ Jesus. So, who'd like to go first? I want to hear from some of you about what God has done and what God is at present doing. So who'd like to go first? We've got a half hour. Well, 33 or so minutes. Maybe let's just call it a half hour. That will give enough time for the offering and all that at the end. But let's just take this time. Come on. There could be a passage of scripture that just nailed you this year. Who, you were getting ready to go, weren't you? And I just started talking again. Gary's like, come on, you gave me a microphone. I want to say something.
I'm not sure if this, yeah, it does.
You're on. Go,
but
Gary.
But what's really weighed on me recently is I think we could all do a better job of inviting more people to church. We need to grow. And the only way we can do that is to ask people to be here. Mm-hmm. And we all know there's how many out there, you know, that we don't share this with.
Yeah.
And I think we could all do a better job of doing that.
Yeah. Gary, what's one way that you personally, put you on the spot, are going to put that to work in your life, put that to practice? Just as an example, because we all have different networks and ways that we encounter people.
Well, I own an automotive shop, and I see people all the time. And they come in and tell me problems that they have. Hmm. And I could do a better job of saying, I can show you where all the answers are to a lot of your problems, you know?
Cool.
I have an automotive shop, and every morning there's a bunch of guys in there, and they sit down and talk about politics and all that. And one day I looked at them all, and I says, you know, I have the answer to all these problems. There's a book at home. And they all looked at me like, wow, what are you talking about? And all the answers are right there. Or most of them, you know.
All the answers we need, all the important ones.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Thank you, Gary. It's a much-needed challenge. Lauren.
As some of you know, my grandmother passed away here at the end of the year, and I could not have asked for a better situation. You know, she loved the Lord and was a very peaceful passing, and I just feel very, very, very blessed to have had a grandmother for 85 years, not me personally, but, you know, have had her be around for 85 years. And I was blessed to have an opportunity to look into her Bible. I know that my husband and I keep a lot of papers and things that really speak to us inside our Bibles. And so I was curious, and while she was unresponsive, I went over and leafed through it. I didn't know if that was an invasion of her privacy, but I guess I didn't really care. But she had written this thing, kind of like what Gary was saying, about how the Bible over the years has become her very best friend. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother was an alcoholic most of my father's life, growing up and everything else. And she really didn't come to know Christ till later in life. And I was just so blessed to be able to have her wrote that down for us to read and to be impacted by. Because I really do think she believed that. And it was just really, it was really cool. It was really, really neat. God works in many ways. And her service was, it was a celebration of life. And it was neat. I love that. I love that stuff. So this is just we're on a journey. And she's reached her goal. And that's pretty cool. Hmm.
Nate, yeah. You should be good. Tap it.
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
So I say, I believe God's been doing a lot at where I work at Walmart in the Chardon. And just, I believe he's doing something big through me. And he's put a particular burden on my heart for a particular person there. And just sometimes just keep praying that he shows them his light through me. Because a lot of times when I walk by some of them, I see them smile back when they never did before when I first worked there and stuff, and I pray that's because they're seeing his light, and I think it is making a difference there, especially a particular person there. Just, I believe God's doing something big there, so. Yeah.
Maybe he is. Pam. Pam, you have to take the microphone, because then you're going to pass it on, you see? It's not about you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit longer because that's just who I am. But
Pam this week and asked her to talk.
I'm so sorry. I just listened to a sermon like 2 days ago about keeping my mouth shut, and here I am talking. Okay. So, anyways, about 9 years ago, I married my husband, Mark, and we got pregnant, and we weren't going to have Joseph. We did not want any more children. We had teenagers that were 15 and 16. We were 35. We just got married. We're not having any more kids. So I made an appointment while I'm at work, driving down the road. I made an appointment to the abortion clinic to get rid of him. Didn't want him. I hang up the phone, and there was a sign that I passed that said, "The choices we make in life will either bless us or haunt us." And I was like, "Really, God? You're going to throw that in my face right now?" I mean, I would constantly pray, and of course, you know, if you're praying to go get an abortion, that's the wrong prayer to be praying. Okay. So anyways, God knows I'm hard-headed. I'm stubborn. I like to do things my way, not his way, my way. And the appointment was set for a Saturday. That was a Monday when I made the phone call. My husband and I went to the appointment. We drove silently from Perry to Shaker Heights, not a word spoken to each other. We get out of the car. We walk to go into the building, and two girls come out, and they're walking next to me, and they're distracting me from protesters that were way off. But when God is talking to you, nothing can stop the word of God from getting to you. Nothing. We walked through the metal detector, got on an elevator, went upstairs, and my husband says to me as we're in the elevator, "We're going to burn in hell for this." And we were crying so hard. We got off the elevator, and we went home. And God has blessed us so much through this little boy that we have, to the point that I never thought in all my life, ever, I never had a will or a need to teach children ever in my life. And last year, I was going through a struggle about putting Joseph back into a Christian school or putting him in public school. And that may not be a big deal to anybody, but before I ever had Joseph, I had said to God many times, "Wish I could turn back time. I would have raised my son Kevin in a Christian home, reading scripture. I would have done those things." Well, we all know we can't turn back time, but I have that chance with Joseph. And I still have that chance with my son Kevin. He's only 22. And my grandchildren. But I couldn't understand why God wanted me to put Joseph in a public school system. Because it was easy for me that I had Joseph in Christian daycares and Christian preschools and Christian schools. You see, I didn't have to teach Joseph every day to read scripture. Somebody else was doing it for me. So I was slacking as a mother to my son. And it wasn't just about Joseph, and it wasn't just about me. But God called me to teach some little preschoolers here at the church. I didn't even want to do that. That was Deborah who came to me and said, "Can you help with these little preschoolers back here?" I said, "Not me. You know, no way. I have two kids that are, you know, 15 years apart almost. I don't want to do anything like that. I never had a, I mean, I like kids, but not to, you know, be around them for a long hour, long amount of time anyways, okay? Little kids anyways, you know? So I started that, and then we had our VBS over the summer, and I somehow, just watching all these little kids back there, my heart was broken to see that there were so many kids who never heard of God and never heard of Jesus, and I just couldn't understand that. And that's how the Good News Club started. I didn't really want to start a Good News Club. I kept asking Beth a lot, you know, what should I do? Because I was still on the, you know, what do I do with Joseph, public school or Christian school? And she kept saying to me, "Pam, he's already telling you. You already know." I'm like, "Really, I don't. I can't hear him. I don't know what he's saying to me. Just tell me what he's saying, Beth. Tell me what he's saying." And she didn't. She would just let me, you know, hear God's voice for my, you know, own stuff. I had to pray a lot. So I started the Good News Club, and the way it started was amazing. I never wanted to do that. I was tested last year, the test of obedience. And no matter how much I kept saying, no, 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 I'm not the person for this. No, 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 I don't want to do this. For some reason, I felt like I was a robot, just doing what my master is telling me to do. And these children are just amazing. Tiffany is one of our volunteers, and they are just, it just warms my heart, and just, I just love seeing these children who are so excited and so eager to hear God's word and to learn. It's just an incredible experience. And if I would have made the wrong choice 9 years ago, I wouldn't be doing this today. And it just blows me away. Like, my eyes are open to seeing God's plan, you know, unfolding over time. And so I feel very blessed about the Good News Club. And then, of course, you know, I've said a couple times to people the struggles I'm having on visitation for my little grandson. And this year, I open up scripture on January 1st, and I go right to Jeremiah 29:11. Just was led right to it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And I was just like, I love God so much. I mean, because he loves us so much and just has so many plans for us, a future, a hope. And this year is my year of trusting in God, turning everything over to him, and letting him guide me, guide my family, friends, everyone. So,
let me ask you something, Pam. You, just before Christmas break, had your first Good News Club with the North Madison kids. How many kids did you have?
One.
Only one came from North?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he was Chinese.
Really?
And his mother is Chinese.
Wow.
Yes. And his little name is Ryan Hong.
Wow.
Yeah. And that just amazed me, because our missionary who is in Macau, she is Chinese. Her name's Mei Mei Lee. And I was like, wow. I mean, we had 900 flyers that went out, but this child, his mother, and him were led. And she stayed the whole time, too, and she'll be back.
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
To what Ryan Hong, the one kid that came out of 900 invitations, may someday...
And let me tell you, he's a kindergartner. He's five. He started kindergarten early. He was the only one in our Good News Club who knew what a manger was.
Huh.
The only one.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Who's next? Come on, somebody. Yeah, Beth.
Okay, most of you know I do the prayer chain, and I do First Place for Health. And by the way, if anybody wants to be on the prayer chain, let me know, and I'll put you on there. First Place for Health was something that I didn't know about in 2011, but I wanted to be healthy and lose weight, but do it God's way. And November 2011, so I started searching on the web, and I found this First Place for Health. So I bought the leader's kit, and I was all gung-ho. I was going to start my own group. I was going to do this, and I was going to do that. And then in February 2012, I got pretty sick. And I was hospitalized and short-term disability for 3 months. And I thought, well, Lord, I thought you led me to this. Why am I sick? So recovered somewhat, and I dragged Teresa Weidenmeyer with me to go to a First Place for Health group that was meeting at Willow Hill in Willoughby Hills, and found that this was really a God group, because they do Bible study, they talk about health, but most of the time is spent in Bible study. So in January 2013, we started meeting at the Perry Library, and we've had up to 10, up to 20, and then as low as 3. But no matter what we do, God is with us, and we pray for each other. We do weigh-ins. We talk about health a short period of time. But the Bible study that we use are the first place for health Bible studies. And they are written by people like Beth Moore and Kay Arthur. They're very, very good. And some of the ladies just come for the Bible study. And it's really neat because we meet in the Perry Library. It's not a church that we're meeting at. They advertise it on their webpage. We have three women in the past that have come from another church. We have one coming from another church. We had a Catholic come. It's amazing, and I see growth. Pam has grown by leaps and bounds when she first came to First Place for Health, and I know God's working through the study and us as women, and I'm so blessed. Every time we go, God teaches us something different. Now, I'm not a witness to say I've lost all this weight. I have quite a bit of weight to lose, but this year, both Teresa and I have been convicted. We need to submit to God. We need to surrender to Him. We need to die to self. What we want may not be healthy. And we need, in our Bible study, we do memorize scripture. And we've all been kind of lax with it, some of the ladies in the group, but I think it's important to memorize scripture because the Lord will remind you of His word when you're in a trial or a temptation or you're sick or anything, and He will reinforce that. And I have to say, I'm so proud of my son, Nate. I had him when I was almost 39. I wanted another child, and the Lord told me He would bless me with one. And his name, Nathaniel, means gift of the Lord. And he really is a gift of the Lord. And I'm very thankful for him. God's done amazing things in our family. And I just praise the Lord.
Why don't we, Paula, you're next. I saw your hand. But before you share, why don't we just kind of breathe in what we've heard so far and just offer a prayer. Who would like to, maybe a couple of you, let's just have some time in prayer as well and thank the Lord for these things before we get so many that we can't even remember. Some of you pray. Deborah, I'll ask, would you be one who would pray? And have a guy, some gentleman. Tom, would you pray as well? Just the prayers of thanks. Paula.
I wasn't planning on saying anything. Mallory looked at me and gave me a nod like I should, so I guess I'll talk about kind of what affects her and I and Kirk and Quinn. And so I know some of you so well and some of you I don't, so I don't know if you know kind of what's been happening in my family. 2010, July, my ex-husband came to me to let me know that there was a part of him that let's just say was going to change my family. He was not wanting to be married to me anymore. He was wanting to pursue a different lifestyle. We had agreed at that time, though, that we would stay married until Kirk was 18 and our family was on their own and we could then go our separate ways. May of 2012, 2 years later, he wasn't quite still on board with that and ended up losing his job, and it had been enough. And during those 2 years, though, I really felt that God was with me. He became my best friend. He was my daily go-to. And without him, that 2 years would have just been, I can't even imagine what it would have been. And it was such a gift. So that for those 2 years, I was able to put the kids in the right path spiritually. I was able to just give them that maturity maybe that they would need. Just 2 extra years was, during those developmental years, just a complete gift from God. So that when then he did leave, which unfortunately was the week after Quinn's graduation party, that summer of 2012, Quinn was very optimistic, though, that if this is what Dad needed to find salvation, I was amazed. When my ex-husband sat in the family room to tell the kids that this is what was going on, he was crying, he was distraught, he was quite a mess when my kids should have been in that position. So I was a little angry that, you know, he put on this show. Quinn got up and went over and comforted him. And I knew at that point that he got it, that my son in this moment of what should be devastating for him was the one to comfort and empathize with this adult who was living in a very dark place. So that was 2012. Our divorce was final fall of 2012. So 2013 was our first year independent of him and on our own. And it's, I can say honestly, the best year of our lives as a family. It's amazing what God can do in your darkest hours and in your what you think is the end of your life as you know it. You know, I thought my life after, you know, I was married to him for 21 years at the time of our divorce. I thought he was who I was going to grow old with. He was my investment. He was where my children would bring their children home to, that we would be grandparents together. And to have that taken from me, I felt robbed. I felt cheated. But yet, 2013 was amazing. This church has put the right people in the right place for me and my kids. I've seen them grow. I've seen them adapt. I've seen them mature. Who told me we were going to do this morning? You guys didn't tell me we were going to do this morning. Anyway, I always think about, you know, going back to Pastor Jeff, God never wastes a hurt, and it's so true. And it's kind of interesting that now that I've been through this and I'm on the other end of it, I have two very good friends who are in failing marriages, and I feel like, is this what I've become? I'm kind of that go-to girl who's, you know, in the middle of, you know, they're in the middle of this stuff with exes, soon-to-be exes, the kids, you know. And like Gary said, this is maybe my place to be able to share that I didn't do this by myself. I didn't have the strength in me to live with someone for 2 years who didn't want to be married to me. I didn't have this by myself. And that God is the one that, you know, gives us that strength to daily know that things are going to get better, that there's a plan for all of it. And if I'm to use that now for these friends who are in these similar situations, then, you know, I'm absolutely compelled to do that. And I'm more than happy to share with them verses I used. Just that you're not going to get through this by yourself, and you've got to have that strength of God. So,
that was thank you, Paula. Tom, who?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that I have that I'm thankful for, and the first and foremost thing that I'm thankful for is the Lord Jesus Christ, who changed my heart 22 years ago. And that's the most thing I'm thankful for, but it's been a wild ride for the last 22 years. There's been things that have been put in place for me, and I never thought that I could accomplish them ever. I never had the thought that I would have the ability to do what people asked me to do, because I'm a very humble individual, and I don't look highly upon myself, but through God, we do a lot of things. And this past year, we had the men's retreat, and I came across this card in my Bible that I always come across it once in a while, and it's what we did is we took and nailed on the cross things that we struggle with, and mine says selfishness and greed, and this isn't my struggle, which sometimes it might be, but it's a person that nailed it on the cross, and the past 22 years of my life, God has made me grow so much. And without Him, without His Word, then I wouldn't be standing here today and being in the position I'm in. I'm thankful for my small group. I'm thankful for Paula, Christine, Greg, Cindy, the Duncan family. I'm very proud of them. I'm very happy that they're in my life. And I'm very proud of my wonderful wife. And I'm very proud of my kids. And last week I talked about bearing fruit, and the best way to bear fruit is in your children. And at times this past 5 years, I never knew that what I put into my kids and the effort I put into my kids, I wouldn't know if they would bear any fruit, but I'm seeing the fruit coming forth. And it's because of all the time that we spent in church. It's because of all the time that we spent together as a family. And God's really changed my children's hearts. And I'm very proud of my kids. And that's all I want to say.
Spence, what's God doing in your life? Thank you, Tom.
Let's see here. Before the summer, you know, I was just selfishly living for myself and went to camp, and that changed everything. I felt like God wanted me back in the youth group after I abandoned Greg and Christine. And they graciously, you know, accepted me back. And I'm just really thankful to be able to teach the kids and install in them what I think God tells me to install in them, and just really grateful for it. And that's all I really can say. And God has established a foundation back in my life, and, you know, just trying to live for him the best I can every day. And, you know, we can go to our job or wherever we go and try to talk people, invite them into church. And that's great. We should do that. But where it really is we're how we infect our kids and our family. And those are the people we see and wake up every day to see. And if we can't infest a foundation of God in our family, then we're not doing our jobs right. The God really just showed me that is put your selfish desires away and just live for me and invest in the people around you and the best you can, and invest in your children, because that's where it is. It all goes back to the children, the people you live with and see, and you wake up every day to see. It all goes back to that. And you know, God just really opened my eyes and showed me what was important. Is, you know, yeah, I still live selfishly for me, but, you know, I try not to. And it's, you know, I just see the importance of going back to, you know, the family, where that's where it is. So if we're not investing in our kid and our children, then we're not doing our jobs right as Christian men and women, mostly Christian men. Well, women are important too, don't get me wrong, but it's just a biblical, it trickles down from God, man, to woman. It's important. Everyone got it, so it's all that matters. Okay, I'll stop.
You make very good points, Spencer. I mean, I think about those passages in 1 Timothy and in Titus where Paul is outlining the qualifications for those who will be leaders in the church, overseers, and they are so heavily weighted on what's your home life like. Do you love your husband? Are you raising your children? Are your children respectable? And are they, you know? Because you nailed it. I mean, if a man isn't, if he's fallen down on the job in his own home, how in the world could he attempt even to lead the people of God? And that's a tragedy in many men's ministry right now, is a public persona of leadership and greatness, but home lives that are just a wreck. And so I thank you, Spencer, for I thank you, Tom, and Martha, who isn't here this morning, but for being she's in the back. I'm sorry, for the example of being godly parents, and it's paying off. It's paying off. I was encouraged this year, and I realize this. I run the risk of embarrassing this person, maybe just a little, but several weeks ago, saw a guy walk in here on a Sunday morning, looked really sharp, dressed, had a nice suit on tie, and came up behind me and said, "Darren, my name's Joe. How are you?" And I said, "Well, hi, Joe. It's good to see you. Where are you from?" And just began to talk a little bit. And many of you know Joe and have had a chance to meet him and get to know him a little bit over the last several weeks. But he said, "Yeah, I've been listening to your sermons online, and I had thought that my mother was the only person that I was posting those sermons for online. And come to find out, Joe had been listening to those for a while and had listened to several of them. And I, well, that's great, Joe. Thanks." And I was thinking, oh, well, he happened onto the website and maybe listened to one or two and thought, well, I'll go to Bridge Church in person and hear him in person. And so I emailed him, said, "Thanks for visiting that after that first Sunday." And he emailed me back and said, "Oh, don't misunderstand. It's not just one or two. I've listened to like 50 of them in the last few weeks." And he'd listened to like the whole Romans series up to that point. And that, you don't understand, Joe, but that blessed my heart a lot. Not that you'd been listening to my sermons, but that, you know, there are things that we do in our lives that seem monotonous and seem to be just kind of, you know, routine and like loading the sermons onto the website. It's just, it's tedious. It's kind of time consuming. I would do it if it were just my mom. I mean, I love my mother. You know, I want her to be able to hear my sermons. I would do it for her, but just to, out of the blue, realize, you know, somebody else's, there are other people, you know, who are benefiting from hearing God's word too. I had no idea. The only thing I can figure out how he would have stumbled onto our website is he's an engineer. So he builds roads and bridges and stuff. And maybe he was searching online for bridge or something, you know, related. And there came our church. Well, I don't have any idea, but just it was humbling. And I want you guys to know there are things you're going to do, you've done for a long time that seem routine. Spiritual disciplines, reading your Bible, spending time with God in prayer, coming to church, being involved in a small group. And I know there are times where you're just like, "Ah, I just want to break. I just need to break out of this routine and do something new and different," or whatever. Stay with it. Stay with those disciplines. Stay the course. Who knows who is going to be impacted by that? Joe's a believer. He didn't come to Christ through my preaching, but I believe it was encouraging to him. You know, you don't know who you're going to encourage in your life. And Joe, again, I'm sorry, if I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but get me back, you know.